Finally. I should have had the soundtrack of a machine gun firing in the background. What do you need machine guns for? Well, yeah, right. Right. Well, when the government starts attacking the people, we need to defend ourselves. It's pretty simple, folks. It's real simple.
Well, it's real simple. It's real simple. You just shoot somebody with a machine gun, then you've got one.
That's right. It's easy. Yeah. Catch them by surprise. And these government goons.
The butter knife brigade. Remember the butter knife brigade?
No.
You don't have any weapons. You only have a butter knife. Well, you sharpen the butter knife and you go out and kill somebody with a weapon. Uh-huh. And then you've got a weapon and you give the butter knife to one of your brothers.
Oh, okay. That's how it works.
And then he goes out and he gets a weapon.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, in any case, thanks for joining in, folks. Yahweh's Covenant People here on Eurofolk Radio. And this is episode 11, maybe the last episode we do on Who is Esau Edom by Charles Wiseman. And we left off on page 112, conclusion and comment. And we just completed on the same page the last section where Wiseman talks about, in fact, he quotes McLean's magazine, where it states that the deliberate encouragement of interracial marriages is the only way to hasten this process, that is, the destruction of the white race by the Jews. And it may be that time is growing short. The dominance of our world has begun to shift like cargo in a listing vessel from the white races to the colored. The sooner we adjust to this fact, the better it will be for our children, for we might well acknowledge, even the most enlightened of us, that we will never completely eliminate racial prejudice until we eliminate separate races. Okay? That's the Jewish agenda, folks. And, of course, they want to eliminate the white race totally. They don't want any white people around, except maybe some white female sex slaves, which they may breed once they get their kosher paradise. Their kosher paradise, but we know that Yahshua is going to return and wipe them off the face of the earth before they get that far, okay? So let's pick it up, a conclusion and comment to this chapter. Mr. Weissman says, we could also expound upon other acts and means of revenge Edom is waging against God's people, the white race. Much could be written of the Jewish control in the field of medicine and medical practices which are used to weaken and kill our people. I'd say Eustace Mullins has written extensively on that. I think the book he wrote was Murder by Injection, if I'm not mistaken. And he showed that the Jews are in total control of the medical establishment here in America. The Jews created the AMA. In fact, the AMA was created by a non-physician Jew. He was basically just a publisher. And they've used the AMA to dominate the field of research and advertising, of course, and the way the Jews control our nation's medical field, all exposed in that book by Eustace Mullins. Okay, the Jewish influence in education has warped the thinking and retarded the capacity for higher thinking in young white people. Also, maybe in Jews, too. The swarm of Jewish lawyers and Judaized lawyers have entangled the legal system with rules and laws that have forced people into bankruptcy and debt. In every field and walk of life, the Jew attacks and seeks to destroy those who obviously possess the birthright, the white race. Well said, because we are the birthright people. We are the birthright of the 12 tribes of Israel, the Caucasian people. All of this activity and control remains rather concealed from the people due to the Jewish control over the media. as the Jewish author Alfred Lilienthal had written, quote, the most effective component of Jewish connection, or the Jewish connection, is probably that of media control. It is well known that American public opinion molders have long been largely influenced by a handful of powerful newspapers, including the New York Times, the Washington Compost, and the St. Louis Post-Compost Dispatch. Got to wear dungarees when you read those papers, folks. Owned respectively by the Sulzbergers, Myers, and the Pulitzers, all Jewish families. And Eugene Meyer was actually a mobster, folks. That's the level of morality that you have in the publishing industry owned by Jews. He continues, the media is now used to hide the birthright from its heirs. The Adamic birthright and the Abrahamic covenant were a blessing and a promise for the heirs of the Adamic race. They included a promise to be prosperous, rich in material wealth, to be a great nation and a company of nations. I just added that. And that the heirs would have a right to dominion in the world. Amen. Wow, he's almost a two-seed lighter. This blessing was bestowed upon Esau by birthright. Well, it would have been had he not sold his birthright. But he continues. But Esau sold that birthright to Jacob, and with all its promises and blessings. It is thus out of jealousy and revenge that Esau desires to see the destruction of Jacob's blessings, his culture, civilization, government, industry, and relationship with God. Esau gave up title to the Adamic birthright and is now trying to reclaim it by deceiving the whole world into believing he is the chosen of God. Well, I don't think I could have said it any better. He's got
it dead on.
Yeah, dead on. And then final paragraph in this section, it is a genetic function of the Jews' existence to do the works of their ancestor Esau by destroying the white Adamic race. Over 400 million white people have been wiped off the face of the earth in the last 300 years by the Jews, and deliberately, folks, by Jew-staged wars and communist revolutions. They are used, among other things, medicine as well, abortion, you name it. They are used by God to perform in that manner, whether they like it or not and whether they know it or not. They cannot change who and what they are while on stage any more than a leopard can change its spots. Well, it's all part of the rebellion.
He's been using this scenario of a play with actors
right
this whole time. So if people are just tuning in and they while on stage, that's what he's referring to is the actors in a play, which you will see in section 8, the final act. And God's script and all of that, just a reminder to what the theme of this writing is by this fella.
Yes.
It's been a brilliant presentation so far. I mean, he claimed to be a single seed liner, but I think he knows just a little bit too much.
Yeah. Right. Maybe he didn't want to offend people, so he didn't preach two seed line, but he's so close, so close. Same with Arnold Kennedy. He was so close to two seed line, understood that the Jews were descendants of Esau, although, the problem that non-seed liners have is they can't believe that Eve was actually seduced by some creature called Nahash. But it's very
well.
Clear.
They don't research the words, Eli. Yeah, they have to go to the original language, and it's very clear in the Hebrew what went on.
That's right.
It's not a mystery. It's not something that's made up. And when they anglicized everything, they even used the word seduced. Well, what do you do when you seduce a woman?
Right.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and all that stuff. How plain do you have it?
Right. And even Paul, where he talks about Eve being seduced, the Greek word means seduced totally. Okay. And there's a, you know, you can't seduce totally unless you complete the sex act, which is what happened, right? So the Bible is replete with evidence that 2C line is true. But, you know, most Christians, even many in identity, are very polite and try to avoid the subject, okay? But it's time for being polite is over, folks. I mean, as he just said, they've murdered 400 million of our people in the last 300 years, if not more. And they're not done yet until our people start to stand up to them. Okay.
Well, even in Genesis, in the seed line of Adam, Cain is not listed. And I point that out over and over and over. And I have heard you point that out right. over and over and over. I have heard David James point that out and Pastor Visser point that out. Mm-hmm. What does it take to wake people up? I mean, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Yes. We're presenting the facts and the actual words of Scripture de-anglicized and demolested as it reads.
Right.
And a lot of people still don't. They willfully don't want to believe. This is a willful act on their part.
Right.
We can only salvage that part of the remnant that Yahweh draws to hear these words through his Holy Spirit. And the others that have turned off the Holy Spirit in themselves are lost, and we cannot help them.
That's right.
The responsibility of denying what the Holy Spirit is teaching them is on them. They have to accept whatever comes if they just continue in willful denial. We have to shake the dust off our feet and move on. Right. We're running out of time, Israelites.
Yes.
If you are a fence sitter out there, you're not going to have the time if you procrastinate. The grace period is almost over. Read the signs on the wall. You can see how everything's being fulfilled at an astounding rate. You don't have any more time to waste. Fool around with it. Over to you.
That's exactly right. Well, Wiseman points out the brainwashing tactics of the Jews in both media, press, and religion. And they have brainwashed white people to believe that being a racist is evil, when in fact being a racist is what Yahweh wants of us. He wants us to love our own race and to live segregated from the other races. And when Judeo-Christians believe that that's evil, then what we're telling them is totally astonishing to them and unbelievable.
Yahweh does not say to hate the other races, except for...
Okay, we're getting to that.
Esau, Edom.
Yes, okay.
All through Scripture.
Right, okay, the final
you
act.
You cannot hate the blacks for what they are. They are what they are. I don't hate dogs and cats and horses and cows.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't pass legislation to make them equal to... Adamic man. I don't try to procreate with them.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I don't put them in positions of governance over me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you want me to do today, Fido? Yeah. Woof, woof. You know, come on. It's a dog.
Right. Yeah, we're
a
not
Negro
supposed to mix
is
with
a
dogs.
Negro.
But even there, you see that the society is becoming so degenerate that people are now advocating bestiality. Okay. And
what interbreeding with a Negro is. If
that's
it's a
the
white
same
woman,
thing, really. It's the
that's
same
bestiality.
Thing. Right. And in the Old Testament, it says, a woman shall not lie with a beast. Both shall be killed. Both shall be executed.
And they talk about beasts with hands. What kind of beast has hands?
That's right.
A non-Adamic beast of the field.
Amen.
We are not to breed with the beast of the field. Our ancestors founded this country, not their farm animals.
That's right. Nor did the Indians. By the way, let me just quickly mention that tomorrow morning on Restoration Hour, I will start my series on the Bible and the U.S. Constitution And it's going to be really good, folks. I'm going to prove conclusively that the U.S. Constitution is entirely based on biblical law and on no other concepts. And then also on next Tuesday, Paul and I are going to start a new series from 10 to noon. Okay. You're laughing already because it's going to be satirical. It's going to be called Fake News Now. Right? So we're going to have fun with that. Although,
why shouldn't we have a little bit of fun? I mean, we're so serious all the time, and we're preaching the word, but they are so stupid out there that they are funny. I can't help it. It's funny in a sick way, but it's funny.
Right. Well, it's what trench humor, right? Yeah, it's the type of humor that the soldiers talk when in the middle of a war, right? And things look funny, but you don't want to experience them, folks. But the Jews are doing these things to us, as we were saying earlier. This is a deadly play. And the Jew, all the world's a stage, and rich is the Jew who owns it. And the Jews own the theater, folks, the theater of war, the theater of religion, the theater of media. That's what the media and news, so-called news, it's all theater, folks. But let's get into chapter 8, the final act. As we turn to the final act in God's script, we find it has several interesting and startling scenes that are of profound importance for world events. Here we find the climax in the conflict between good and evil. This act tells of the final completion of the kingdom of God, the exposure of evil persons, the overcoming of troubles by God's people, the times of restitution of all things, and the destruction of the man-made worldly system known as Babylon. It's amazing that, Pastor Steve, none of the Judeo-Christian ministers will ever talk about Mystery Babylon, even though there's a chapter and a half written about it in the book of Revelation. It's quite astounding that they avoid this topic 100%.
Well, they studiously avoid it.
That's right.
It's the 800-pound gorilla in the living room.
Right.
And the problem lies today that the gorilla has defecated much that you cannot ignore that. They have just crapped all over our world.
Amen.
And it's come time to bring out the fire hose and flush it out.
Right. Yeah, it's defecated on the Christian altar is what it's done. He continues, it has scenes of war and peace, of rejoicing and of weeping and gnashing of teeth, rejoicing for the good guys, weeping and gnashing for the bad guys. The scenes and events in this act thus bring about a turning point in the way in which those in the world perceive things and live their lives. Here we also find a drastic change in the lives of Esau and Jacob and the way in which the world perceives these two characters. Now, I believe, Pastor Steve, if I remember correctly, you quoted 2 Esdras, where it says that Esau was born first and Jacob had hold of his heel.
Yeah.
And that means that Esau is the lord of this world, but Jacob will be the beginning of the next. That's
he was a usurper,
right?
But it was a willful usurping because Esau sold his birthright,
right?
Thereby giving up the right to the blessing as well, because the blessing goes to the one with the birthright.
That's right.
And Yahweh's hand was in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
This was set up by Yahweh because he said. Jacob, I have loved, but Esau, I have hated.
Yes.
And he rebelled against his parents. He rebelled against Yahweh. He married outside of his race. He married cursed seed, and they had bred all the ites had bred so much that the Cainy, the seed of Cain, disappeared as a distinct people. And they had all these ites, and they had spread out so far they were up in the steppes close to Russia, and they were known as the Khazars. They were Canaanite seed, And of course, they adapted to Talmudic Judaism.
Right.
It was their cup of tea from the very get-go.
Yeah, Babylonian.
So they
Talmudism.
Made the they, and most of the Jews today are of the Khazars. These are the people that were throwing babies in wolf pits for entertainment.
Right, right.
Okay, lovely well, folk.
Yeah, that's right. Exit Esau Edom. In this final act of God's script for the world, we find appearing on center stage the same two characters which first made their appearance in Genesis 25, that being Esau and Jacob. The end of the script reads just as most would expect and hope, with justice and a happy ending. Here we find God's people Israel being delivered from the hand of their enemy Edom, who ends up being destroyed. And he quotes, "For the day of Yahweh is near upon all the heathen. As you have done, it shall be done to you." That's justice, folks. Your reward,
what goes around comes around.
That's right. "Your reward shall return upon your own head, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance." And Mount Zion is simply the government of the true Israel people, and of course led by Yahshua. "And there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their..." In other words, we will get back what the Jews have stolen from us. "And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh has spoken it." Quoting Obadiah. Well, it's just Obadiah verses 17 and 18. There's only one chapter.
All right. Notice the fire, sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
Second, again, my favorite verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Read about it. Turn to 2 Thessalonians right now and read it and see if that verse right there doesn't ring true in the New Testament.
Right.
Okay. That was to the assembly at Thessalonica.
Right. Very good. Okay. What is being talked about in these verses is the elimination of Esau as a people. There shall not any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh has spoken it. With this decree, God has signed and sealed Esau's death warrant. In this scene, the character Esau Edom makes his final exit offstage, which means he is forever eliminated from the world scene. See also Isaiah 34, 5, 6. The play's over for Esau. The book of Jubilee says that when Esau would gain dominion over Jacob, Esau would commit a sin unto death, and all thy seed shall be rooted out from under heaven, chapter 26, verse 35. And the book of Ezekiel also uses similar language that that Esau would commit a sin, but he would have an evil thought, a thought that would be very destructive and deadly. So, and speaking again of Esau, and what was that thought? Well, it's to try to exterminate the white race.
Okay, 26:35 of the book of Jubilees. "And it will happen when thou art great and shall break his yoke off thy neck, thou shalt commit a sin unto death, and all thy seed," that's Ed's seed line,
right,
"shall be rooted out from under heaven." See, we have those books.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, yeah. Eli and I and a lot of the others, we have all the deleted books that we have accumulated.
Right.
I've got a book of Jasher I've had to glue together three or four times because it falls apart.
That's good.
But, you wonder where we've come up with this stuff. Well, we research. We built these libraries up over years of study.
Yes.
And we don't expect you to learn all this stuff, especially people new to identity. We got 30-some years plus of study. We can't give that to you all in one lump. It would overwhelm you. So we spoon feed it out, and we give reference material so you can look it up. Doubt us. Please doubt us.
Yeah.
Look it up for yourself. And then when you read it for yourself, you will know that we have told you the truth. Over to you.
Yeah. Well, chili with hot sauce is really tasty. Yep. No pablum here, folks. No pablum. Let's continue. Here, then, we have the extermination of an entire race or group of people, the Edomites. Today, this is often called genocide. The Bible actually prophesies the genocide of Esau, Edom.
Yahwicide. He's going to kill them all.
Nothing the Edomites can do about it. Knowing this, we must again put ourselves in the role of Esau to understand what is happening today. If your role called for your destruction, would you not want to change or circumvent the scene? And it's not like these Talmudic rabbis don't know. They know they're Edom. But they don't believe the Bible.
They brag it. They have bumper stickers that state it. I've seen it on Jew vehicles.
Okay, right. Why is it that the Jew is running around trying to get laws passed internationally and nationally to prevent any acts that could be construed as leading to or causing genocide? If your life was on the line, would you not be doing the same? Exactly.
Well, we're not going to be the ones that are going to be doing this.
Right.
As I said, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Yeshua, Messiah, and his mighty messengers of vengeance are going to be doing this. He coming back with flaming fire.
Yeah, and
what about flaming fire? Don't you understand?
Right. Well, in Britain, they're trying to pass a law that no one can criticize a Jew.
They're trying it here.
And they just tried it here. They tried to pass a law that on college campuses, no one could criticize a Jew. It passed the Senate, but it did not pass the House, so that bill died on the vine. There's no way it could pass anyway because it's a violation of the First Amendment.
Yep.
The First Amendment does not permit a specified group to be uncriticized. That's ridiculous, utterly ridiculous. Yep.
Well, we're going to see what this new guy does when he gets in. Yeah. He's not inaugurated yet, folks.
Right. By the way, Monday...
We don't know what changes he's going to make.
Monday is when the Electoral College votes for president. Okay. That's the official day, and Hillary has lost all three of her appeals in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. So flyover country, Hillary, flyover country. You forgot about flyover country. Let's continue. The Jews have instigated and promoted the Genocide Treaty, the Genocide Convention, genocide laws, and even have invented the very word and meaning of genocide. In late November 1944, a book was released titled Axis Rule in Occupied Europe, authored by a Polish Jew and lawyer by the name of Raphael Lemkin. In this book, Lemkin introduced the new word genocide. Lemkin uttered with grim hyperbolic judgment, hyperbolic meaning exaggerated, the Nazis have destroyed whole nations, a crime for which the present writer has coined the word genocide, an analogy with homicide and fratricide. Well, that's just a blatant lie. The Nazis have not destroyed. The Nazis didn't destroy any nations. They invaded Poland because there was a genocide of Germans going on in the Danzig corridor. Up to 30,000 ethnic Germans had been annihilated by a combination of Freemasons and Jews, and Hitler had finally just had enough. And plus that territory belonged to the Germans anyway. It was illegally stolen from Germany by the Jews of the Versailles Treaty. And if anybody has destroyed nations, it's the Jews, folks.
Hitler wanted to reverse the unjust punishments of the Versailles Treaty. And that was his rise to popularity in a great part because the German people knew they had been put upon.
That's right.
And they were sick of it.
Falsely blamed.
And they were being financially strangled by the usurers, and he got rid of them.
Yeah. Well, talk about genocide. I think it's 73,000, maybe more, Germans were starved to death right after the Versailles Treaty because the blockade of World War I was still in effect. So a lot of Germans starved because the blockade hadn't been removed even after the Versailles Treaty. And then they went on German farms and simply took the cattle, the pigs, the horses, everything off the farms as if the German people themselves and not the German government were at fault for World War I. All of this in spite of the fact that the Germans were the last to enter the hostilities. They only entered the hostilities.
Well, they took anything that they needed for sustenance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they would die.
Deliberately trying to starve the German people. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And he continues, genocide by its definition was a group offense against another group. Well, the Jews have done more genociding of white people than is it's conscionable, even comprehensible. It was in its truest sense an international crime, one race or nation against another. Raphael Lemkin's new crime and his new word for it, genocide, achieved dizzying success. Less than a decade after he first fabricated it, enough states represented in the United Nations organization came to ratify the convention, which incorporated it as a new international crime, and most of them surrounded it with enabling legislation to make it the law of their lands as well. All this was achieved by 1951, of course, by the Jews, who are the worst genocidal maniacs who ever lived. To show the world that this new crime of genocide is a potential threat, the Jews found it necessary to fabricate the monstrous lie of their Holocaust story, where 6 million of their race were allegedly killed by Nazi Germany during World War II. This worked effectively to play on the sympathy of most people, especially when it is presented in a dramatic and emotional manner. Like over and over on fabricated newsreels.
Oh, the Holocaust! Yeah. My suffering! My suffering!
Yes. Yeah, I remember a story where... I can't remember whether it was told by Wesley Swift, but a German national who happened to be in Dresden, and he lived through it, and he was there picking up bodies, and they actually had to use bulldozers to move the dead bodies. There were so many of them, because talk about genocide. That was a war crime, unparalleled war crime. The firebombing, that was a Holocaust, firebombing of Dresden. Innocent women and children had no military installations whatsoever in Dresden. And who was the Jewish author? He also survived. He wrote a book about it. So it's thoroughly documented. Anyway, he said that after leaving Germany, he came to America and saw a documentary about the Holocaust. And then he said, and then they showed a movie of supposedly of the death camps and showing bulldozers moving bodies around and people picking them up and, putting them on trucks and things like that. And he looked at this and he realized, hey, that's me. He saw himself in this movie and he jumped up and said, hey, this is a fraud. This is not Dachau. This is Dresden. And all these people are Germans. You're a bunch of liars. So this is the type of thing that doesn't get reported in the press.
Oh, sure not.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course not.
Right.
Who owns the press?
Yeah, exactly. To show the world that this new crime of genocide is a potential threat, the Jews found it necessary to fabricate the monstrous lie of the Holocaust story where 6 million of their race were allegedly killed by Nazi Germany during World War II. The Jews have established several groups and organizations to spread their biased propaganda and to monitor acts that they believe may threaten their extinction. And, of course, the Jews are primarily concerned about the survival of their race or breed.
Well, they're not even a race.
That's
right. They're a mongrel people.
Right. They're breed. And because they do not believe in the afterlife, their only chance for survival is offspring. Okay, that's their only chance. One such group, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, dedicates its energies to Holocaust studies. It also tracks down Nazi war criminals worldwide so they can be tried and executed through their kangaroo court in Israeli. I'm grateful he doesn't use the word Israel, in Israeli, or the UN World Court. They thus are held up as an example to anyone who would dare think of harming or plotting to kill Jews or declare war on them. So in other words, the propaganda instills fear, intimidates people to not speak out in favor of Adolf Hitler And the miracle, the economic miracle he created during World War, or before World War II, when the Jews were genociding Germans left and right in the Weimar Republic and degrading the Republic by, hyperinflation, pauperizing the German people, and then Jews would come along with their money, buy up real estate, buy up theaters, and producing degenerate sexual plays, increasing prostitution, etc., etc. That's what the Jews did during the Weimar Republic, while the German people were suffering immensely from lack of money and food. This is what the Jews did to the Germans during the Weimar Republic. He continues, there's also the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, which strives to institutionalize Holocaust instruction in the nation's schoolrooms, and that's what they've done. In addition, ADL's Nazi War Criminals Task Force cooperates with government agencies here and there to bring these quote-unquote criminals to justice.
Totally fake.
So if you want to talk about fake news.
What about all the Belarus?
Right.
The white Christian Russians in white Russia, that's what that means. Belarus is white Russian.
Uh-huh.
They were criminal. They were criminalized and killed by the Jews because they were Christians.
That's right. That's right.
And there were 12 million of them that were killed. Why is that not genocide?
Right.
I think that's double 6 million, isn't it?
Yep, that's right.
6 and 6 equal 12. Why is that not publicized?
Why is it not talked about? No, it's not talked about. And he, as a Jew, Karl Marx once stated, there can be no solution to the problems of the world without the destruction of the Jews and their religion, Judaism. Probably the one true statement that Karl Marx ever made. Okay.
Well, they kill each other too.
Yes, that's
right.
The
ultra Orthodox and the Orthodox against the Reform.
Yes. Yeah.
They throw the Reform under the bus all the time.
Right. Right.
There's no more virulent, more hate-filled group than the Orthodox Jews.
That's right.
Nowhere. They are vicious.
Referring to Obadiah again, it is interesting that the Jews have chosen the word Holocaust, meaning the whole of something which is burned. The whole house of Esau is described as being burned up. A true Holocaust is about to occur. The Jews cry never again in reference to the Holocaust story, but the fact is it has not yet happened. This destruction will happen to the Jews and at the hand of true Israel, the white race, as verified by Ezekiel. Therefore, saith Yahweh, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, which was their major city, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh Elohim.
Actually, so, right there, the Lord God, that is Adonai Yahweh.
Okay. All right, here is another
prophecy. When you see it phrased like that,
yeah.
That the Lord is a title, and that is Adonai, and when they have God in that form,
right,
with all the caps, that is Yahweh.
Okay. Yeah, well, here, Lord is capital L, lowercase O-R-D.
Would be Adonai.
Right, that's Adonai, and it's not Yahweh. In the King James, Yahweh is always rendered as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay.
Right.
Right. All right, so the story of the Holocaust was invented by Esau, the Jews, to give life and meaning to this worldly perspective of genocide. They try to say that genocide almost happened. By the way, Germar Rudolph wrote a book proving that this 6 million garbage was already being published by the Jews during World War I. Okay, and everybody knows there wasn't any extermination of Jews during World War I, but they had written numerous articles, and many people have copied these newspapers and put them online, so you can actually discover how the Jews have fabricated this story already during World War One, folks. Already during World War One. This is what the world has been taught and believes, that there was this Holocaust. The Edomite Canaanite Jews have fabricated the 6 million Jewish Holocaust story to direct the world away from their inevitable prophetic fate. They are saying that this portion of God's script must never be acted out on stage. Well, nor do they believe it. This is just proof that the Jews do not believe the Bible. No. Well, what they teach is that some other people, namely the Palestinians, are Esau Edom. Or I've heard them say that the Germans are Esau Edom. Okay? So this is, you know, again, more Jewish propaganda. Popular thought and opinion finds the plans of God in this regard absolutely repugnant, because God does not recognize the right of the Jews to continue to exist. Thus, no preacher or theologian would dare speak the truth regarding the Jews or the ways of God. Yet God says that the day is coming in which there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts, Zechariah 14:21.
Okay, now, and there, Canaanite is also what the Canaani are also the merchants, and that comes from Yeshua driving them out. There will be no more merchants.
Yeah, certainly
Canaanite, not. Because that's what they were. They were traveling merchants.
That's right. Yeah.
There will be no more traveling Jewish merchants in the house of Yahweh of hosts.
Right.
And they have infiltrated the seminary schools and are posing as white folks. And they are not.
That's right.
And they are being exposed left and right in their Judeo-Christian churches. Their lies that they have been teaching are being exposed. And I am proud to be part of that.
Amen.
And there's going to be a lot of people wake up. And we're going to have a split in our own people. Those that are trapped in the Judeo-Christian ethic, that have been completely brainwashed, and they are afraid to think themselves because they won't be part of their little group, and they will be against their own people, the Christian identity crowd. They will hate us. They're being programmed to hate us now. And this is another extension of the Jewish genocide against the white race, white people fighting white people. And it says in the Bible that a man's enemy shall be of his own house.
That's right.
So that's right. All of this is prophesied in the Bible. The Bible doesn't lie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It tells us all what's coming.
Yeah.
You just have to look at it, and it sticks out like that 800-pound gorilla in the living room.
Well,
you can't ignore it anymore.
Once you realize that we Caucasians are the Israelites of the Bible and the only ones who have ever fulfilled any of the prophecies regarding Jacob Israel, and you realize that the Jews are Esau Edom, then everything makes perfect sense. And it's obvious this is why this book is so good, is because he comprehends who the Israelites are and who the Edomites are, okay, and how this has worked out in history. It's obvious how this has worked out in history once you know who is who and what is what. And the reason we're doing the show is because you must be able to see events happening in the world today from this script called the Bible, all right? If you don't, and you need to have a program, because if you don't have a program to explain what's happening on the play, on the stage, the world stage, you won't get it. You won't get it.
And the program is the Holy Scriptures.
Yes, there you go. All right, the Edomites also find a parallel with the tares in the parable of the tares and the wheat.
Amen and amen.
Yes, the tares were planted in the field or the world along with the wheat and allowed to exist with them until the time of the harvest. At harvest, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world, Matthew 13:40. The tares are revealed as the wicked, or just as some say, or someday, Edom shall be called the border of wickedness, Malachi 1:4. That's the Jewish state, folks, the border of wickedness. The Jews are running around like chickens with their heads cut off because some of them realize that the time of the harvest is approaching. And boy, are they anxious today. They're trying to pass all these laws. First of all,
full Full panic mode.
Full panic. First of all, they've passed laws in every country except America that you must believe the Hoaxacost. And if you don't believe in the Hoaxacost or criticize it or challenge it, as who was the German lady who just got put away yet again? The elderly German lady who was.
She's in her 80s.
Yeah. An 80-year-old lady. They just locked her up again for questioning the hoax, the fake news called the Holocaust. And only in America, and this is why they have to deport. They had to deport Germar Rudolph to try him in Germany for the crime of denying the Holocaust, because there is no such crime in America, okay, et cetera, et cetera. So let's continue. Edom was the cause of Jacob's troubles. Troubles are called thorns as they prick, harass, and confine men. Hosea 2:6, 2 Corinthians 12:7. That which produces thorns and briars is rejected and is near unto cursing, and whose end is to be burned up. Hebrews 6:6, 7-8. The Edomite Jews have troubled, pricked, and harassed us generation after generation, and are thus destined to be totally burnt up. And boy, that Jewish fat is not going to be turned into soap, folks. There are many races which are now on the verge of extinction. Is the world concerned about any of these races being eliminated from the face of the earth? No, they are not. Its concern is concentrated on the Jew. This is the one people that the world believes must be protected and survive. Yet it is the one race or one breed God has slated for destruction.
They're chosen people, all right. They're just not chosen for what they think they're chosen for.
Exactly. Okay, last section, I believe, in this chapter. Edom and Babylon. Esau, Edom is much like those who commit blasphemy because they say they are Jews, Judeans, i.e. Israelites, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan and do lie, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. By this, Edom can be identified with the corrupt Babylonian beast system, which is full of names of blasphemy, and by its sorceries, where all nations were deceived, Revelation 17:3, 18:23. Of course, none blaspheme Christ or lie and deceive more than the Edomite Jews. Edom's connection with Babylon started with Esau's desire to obtain the valuable garments of Nimrod, with which Nimrod prevailed over the whole land, Jasher 27:10.
Nimrod, I read that, remember?
Yes, I read that. Yes. Nimrod was the king of Babel or Babylon, Genesis 10, verses 9 to 10, and his garments represented his ungodly rule. Nimrod is the prototype of a rebellious people, his name being interpreted as he who made all the people rebellious against God, quoting from the Jewish Encyclopedia. Esau had killed Nimrod and then fought a desperate fight with two of his aides and killed them also. He then took the valuable garments of Nimrod and fled from his men, Jasher 27, 4-11. This exhausted...
Can I break in there?
Sure.
Those were the garments made by Yahweh for Adam and Eve.
Okay.
And they were fashioned into other garments, which Nimrod wore, which gave him power because they were constructed by Yahweh.
Okay. You're not talking about fig leaves.
No, I'm talking about the skins, remember?
Right. Okay.
He made them garments of skin.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Tunics of skin, and they were modified, and Nimrod wore them, and it gave me power.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. Anyway, this exhausted Esau, and when Genesis tells us that when he came in from the field, he was faint, 25:29. This is when he sold his birthright to Jacob for pottage, which is a fitting consequence of his action. When he killed Nimrod and took his garments, Esau assumed another birthright, that of Nimrod, and his Babylonian rule, one which could not coexist with the Abrahamic birthright. Very well said. I don't think I've ever heard anyone else point that out, that when he assumed that garment, he assumed the Babylonian Talmud, right? Which is essentially
That's
what he's
right.
saying here. Yeah. Babylon became a symbol for all that is contrary to the will and ways of God, including the fractional reserve banking system was invented by these Edomite Jews in Babylon, folks. It's called the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve Bank today. The Tower of Babel was a plan to elevate man above God so as to have a universal rule over the world. Now, what does Babel mean again in the Hebrew?
Confusion.
Yeah, it's obviously, the word is retained in English as babbling, okay? When somebody babbles, it doesn't know what he's saying. But in Hebrew, it means confusion.
Well, that's because they confuse the language.
That's right. The script
so
of
they
God,
babble. And you don't know what the heck they're saying.
Exactly.
Like speaking in tongues in church. Whatever.
Yeah, the Holy Scripture says that at Pentecost, even though they spoke in their own languages, other people heard in their own languages, so they understood.
Yep.
They understood. The today's Babel, that's more Babel. Not even themselves.
Yeah, they understood, like if they were speaking in German, Italian man would hear Italian.
Right.
And that's a miracle of Yahweh.
Amen. Amen. So, but today's people who claim to be speaking in tongues do not fulfill that aspect of what happened at Pentecost, and they themselves don't even know what they're saying. They're just babbling.
Well, they get their tongue in front of their eye teeth, and they can't see what they're saying.
Right. And their tongues get all twisted, right? The script of God reveals many interesting parallels between Red Edom and the Red Beast system of Babylon. As indicated, they both have the color identification of red. There are also similarities between their prophecies and their judgments. These need to be examined for the sake of further identifying who and what Esau Edom is. The following are some of these parallels. Number one, burned and destroyed by fire. In Obadiah 1:18, Esau is devoured by the flame of Jacob. Babylon will also be utterly burned with fire, Revelation 18:8. Number two, be overthrown like Sodom and Gomorrah. Both Edom, Jeremiah 49:18, and Babylon, Jeremiah 50:40, are to end in destruction, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Number three.
Fire and brimstone.
That's right. Fire and brimstone. Mm-hmm. Habitations made desolate. Edom shall have its habitations made desolate by the least of the flock. Jeremiah 49:20. This exact same judgment is given for Babylon. Jeremiah 50:45. So I think what it's saying here, Pastor Steve, is that some of us, the remnant, maybe least here is more like remnant. I don't have the verse in front of me.
Yeah.
I would expect more
Jeremiah
like remnant.
49:20. I'll take a look at that.
Okay. And that what we will be seeing here is that those of us, the remnant, will be given power by Yahweh when Yahshua and his avenging angels come, and we will all take part in this, not just cleaning up afterwards, but some of us will take part in this as we deserve to do, to wreak vengeance upon those who have been killing us all the day long.
Well, he says, you are my battle axe and my weapons of war.
Amen. Amen. Number four, dominion over and war against Israel. As shown, Edom was to gain dominion over and afflict Israel. The system of Babylon also is to have dominion over God's people and make war against them. Daniel 7:21-25, Revelation 12:17, 13:7, and 17:6. And we have
That's going on right now.
That's definitely going on right
now. Going on now.
Yes. And just for clarity, we have been teaching here at Eurofolk Radio, various of us, including Pastor Steve and myself, David James, and several others, that this dominion was granted to the Edomites when the Rothschilds started their five international banks during the Napoleonic Wars, right after the Jews were let out of ghettos. They were let out of the ghettos by Napoleon, and that's what enabled the Rothschilds to lend money to the warring parties of the Napoleonic Wars and make billions off of those wars, establishing the House of Rothschild and Jewish dominion over the Christian nations of Europe. That's when that happened, folks. Okay. Number five, has a covert reign over the world. The final stage, oh man, does he? The final stage of rule of Babylon is a mystery. Revelation 17:5. Edom is also exalted very high, which involves hidden things again. Obadiah 1-6. And there's
that's
no...
their laws that they passed.
Right.
And the hiding of who owns the international banks.
Yes.
Secret, secret, secret. All the secret societies, Skull and Bones.
Yes.
The Freemasons, on and on and on.
Cover-ups by the mass media, because the Jews own the mass media. You can't get any truth from mass media. And this is
Pizzagate.
Right. It's been going on for over 100 years because the Jews began to take control of America's media right around 1910, maybe a little earlier, as Jews began buying up newspapers like the New York Times, Washington Post, et cetera, et cetera. The last major newspaper to fall was the Chicago Tribune, which did not fall into the hands of the Jews until the 1950s. Because that newspaper was owned by Colonel McCormick, son of the inventor of the McCormick Reaper. So he was independent and did not, in fact, he referred to the New Deal in the Chicago Tribune as the Jew Deal. He was an honest journalist. Okay. All right. Next, a final point here, number six. Israel to destroy and be delivered from both Edom and Babylon. And that's Revelation 18:4. These are what God's people need deliverance from. This deliverance comes by God's people destroying its oppressor, Daniel 7:26-27, Revelation 18:6, and finally, this last sentence of the section. Who is it today that is promoting the Babylonian system? It is those whose religion and way of life is based on the Babylonian Talmud, the Jews. Okay? So now, and with a couple of minutes left...
Got a little less than 3 minutes.
Yeah. It's obvious that the Jews are the foremost practitioners of usury, which is utterly condemned in the Bible. So why does no one call them on this? If they claim to be God's chosen people, why are they still practicing usury, which they're forbidden to do? And why have they never declared a jubilee? Because the Bible instructs that we're supposed to have a jubilee every 49 years, in which all debts are forgiven, and all Israelites are supposed to be returned their property. Okay? This has not happened. The Jews have never done anything.
They want everybody to believe that only they are Israel, mm-hmm. and we are not Israel, so we don't get our property returned.
Okay, so
and it is just the reverse. They are not Israel, and we are.
Right. Right.
So I think we're going to need to do one more show on this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we will. We will.
It started Jacob's deliverance on 123.
Yes, yes. And,
which
continues with Obadiah's prophecy. But we'll just end it for today. We'll pick it up there on page 123, Jacob's deliverance. Good show. I think this is a book, Who is Esau Edom, that every white person on the planet needs to read and understand who the Jews really are, and they'll begin to get an appreciation of biblical prophecy once they read this book. Okay. All right.
Well,
folks.
I always enjoy our deep word studies.
Yes.
Because we can really dissect what is said, and this guy, Charles Wiseman, was a brilliant author, and the way he phrases things really makes it easy to teach out of his work.
Yeah, he's a great teacher.
Very, very. Well, we're down to past 9:59, brother.
Yeah.
And I want to say shalom aleichem, and don't forget the new show coming up
On Tuesday.
Fake news.
Right, fake news now. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time. Don't let them take your guns away.
prostitute.